Grace you in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In Old Testament Israel, it was believed that the presence of God was located wherever the Ark of the Covenant was located. And since the Ark of the Covenant was kept in the tabernacle was believed to be the place where God dwelt. And as Israel carried the Ark of the Covenant before them into the Jordan River, the waters of the Jordan River split apart so they could walk across on dry land. And as they carried the Ark of the Covenant with them before them into battle, they defeated all of their enemies. And as the Ark was captured by the Philistines and brought back and placed in the house of their idol, their god Dagon, that statue of Dagon fell over before the Ark, and its hands and its head was cut off. And when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, he danced before the Ark. But the scriptures state that he danced before the Lord. And the Ark was placed in the tent that David had prepared. And later it was placed in the temple that Solomon built. But wherever that Ark went, it was believed that God went and dwelt there also. And so in Psalm 23, or Psalm 15, Psalm 27, Psalm 61, 2 Samuel 12, when it talks about the house of the Lord, or the Lord's sanctuary, or the Lord's temple, or the Lord's tent, it is referring to the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, which was thus believed to be where one could find the presence of God. And thus, David's desire in Psalm 23, verse 6, is not his desire simply to hang out in a tent or even in a temple all the days of his life, but to be in the presence of the Lord all the days of his life. And that is our desire and our hope and our comfort also, because of our good shepherd, Jesus. Because he has promised to be with us always and never to leave us nor forsake us. Because of that, goodness and mercy will be with us all the days of our lives. Because he's given his life for us, bore the guilt of our sin and paid the debt of our sin, we are forgiven of our sin. And thus we are prepared to dwell in God's presence. And because Christ Jesus has conquered both death and the grave, and because he has gone before us into heaven to prepare a place for us, we can and we will live in the presence of God. Not only for the days of our lives here on this earth, but also for all the days of our lives in eternity. I'm not sure at what age or at what stage of life David wrote Psalm 23, but I think it's pretty safe to assume that it was after David had endured his share of heartaches and travails and confusion in life. I don't believe David wrote this psalm as a naive young man who had just conquered the giant Goliath, who then just assumed that everything in life would fall into place neatly and positively, just as it had in his victory over this arrogant Philistine. Thus, the goodness and the mercy that David refers to in verse 6 is not simply that of worldly success or health or fame. The goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our lives is that peace of God that passes all understanding. That which arises from the knowledge and comfort that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is always with us. It is the assurance that the Lord, our shepherd, will care for us and provide for us, that even in times of scarcity and challenge, we will not be in want. It is the certain conviction that God will calm our spirit and restore our soul, that He will guide us in ways that are pleasing to Him, what we might call paths of righteousness, regardless of what life challenge we face or what calamity we go through. I'm not sure, you know, when in the last 3,000 years this psalm became the beloved psalm that it is today. Nor do I know when it became the most known and the most read funeral psalm that it is today. But in light of verse 6 especially, that which we're looking at today, I find this psalm most fitting to read at the end of life. For oftentimes it's only as we are looking back upon our lives that we can most clearly see the guiding hand of the Lord in our lives and how His goodness and His mercy did follow us all the days of our lives. I think about that poem, Footprints, how the man in the story could not always feel the presence of God in his life, nor did he see God's goodness and mercy in his life, especially in the midst of his travail. It was only as he looked back upon his life and he saw those footprints and he learned that it was the Lord, his good shepherd, who was carrying him through his heartaches. It was only then that he recognized the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, and that it had constantly followed him all the days of his life. It's also in light of the closing words of Psalm 23, verse 6, that this psalm is so appropriate for us to read at funerals, because it gives us that final assurance and hope of where we will dwell for our eternity. Namely, in the presence, in the house of the Lord forever. For as the Bible tells us, death cannot separate us from the love of God, that love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And those who live and believe in Jesus will live even though they die. Scripture says we will cross from death to life, and we will be welcomed into the home that Christ has gone before us to prepare for us. A home where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. A home where we will be with the Lord forever. I'm sure David had no idea when he wrote this psalm what his words would mean to millions and millions of God's people throughout the ages. You know, I'm sure he must have thought that his conquests as king would be the legacy of his life. But David's real legacy, the one that has touched all of our lives, are the words of this psalm and other psalms too. Psalms that inform us and assure us and remind us that the Lord is indeed our good shepherd. A shepherd that provides for us, restores us, leads us, protects us, honors us, and blesses us, both in time and for eternity. To Him be all glory and honor and praise, both now and forevermore. Amen.